Psalm 21. The chief musician, the Psalm of David. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips. Amen. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest him, even length of days for ever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honour and majesty hast thou laid upon him. Thou hast made him most blessed for ever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee. They imagined a mischievous device, which they are not able to perform. Therefore shalt thou make them turn their back, when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. So will we sing and praise thy power. Well, as we see from the beginning, this is another psalm written by David, and it follows on from the previous psalm, which we looked at last week, which, as you know, speaks of trusting in the Lord for deliverance and not trusting in one's own might. And in this case, in verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses. He was obviously talking, appears to be writing this in a day that after he had been delivered from some form of a battle. And it's a very real rejoicing. You see that he says, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Seems to be written by him, although in the third person. But again, just taking up the theme of yesterday, that it's really important for us to try and see our salvation in the same light as if we had been similarly delivered from a battle, because that's what David felt. And I sort of wondered what it would have been like to have got back from Dunkirk in 1940, having been delivered against all the odds from the German army, and then the Battle of Britain. You may have seen a bomb might have, I don't know, landed. You might have seen a plane overhead and thought that the bomb was going to hit your house, and then it misses and you've been delivered. My father had a shell land at his feet and it didn't explode. He was delivered. And I've no doubt that he would have offered up a prayer of thanks for that deliverance. And then to have survived the D-Day landings in June 1944, to have been there in the VE Day celebrations in May 1945, people would have been, that's a victory in Europe Day, people would have been rejoicing of this, having been delivered from the tyranny of the Germans and the Japanese later. But for us, there is an even greater deliverance that we rejoice in, which is a deliverance from the penalty of our sins, even hell. And I want to understand that better. I want to be able to sing about the salvation from my sins, the salvation from my salvation from hell, which is what it's about, isn't it? I've been saved from the power of my, from the penalty of my sins. And that is just, I can't see it always so clearly, because we don't see hell now. People say, oh, you know, I've been to the something from hell, or, you know, that was hell. Yeah. But they don't know what it's talking about. But we only know by faith. And we need to keep our eyes fixed on the Lord to understand just what we've been delivered from. Verse 2 indicates that salvation was his heart's desire, and I wonder whether it's ours as well. And he was given a blessing he didn't deserve. You see that in verse 2 and 3. Thou hast given him his heart's desires, and hast not withholden the request of his lips, for thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. thou settest the crown of gold upon his head. Well, he was given blessings he didn't deserve. Verse 3, for thou preventest him with blessings of goodness. In other words, those blessings of goodness came before he had earned them. And that's the same for us, isn't it? It's by grace we're saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves. So that no man can boast. It's a gift from God. He was given the request of his lips, which speaks of answered prayer. And I wonder what the requests of our lips are. And we will be given the request of our lips as they accord with the Lord's will. John 15, verse 7 reminds us, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Then the crown that David speaks about, the crown of gold, it must have been magnificent. It was the crown he would have had at his accession to the throne. Interestingly, he also talks about being given length of days, so it's not clear whether he wrote this at the time that he was crowned or at the end of his life. It actually goes on to say that the length of days forever and ever, which speaks, of course, of his eternal life and the life of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord Jesus, we know, is in the line of David, and he has an endless life. Well, I don't think asking for a long life is a bad thing to ask for. A long life to serve the Lord is a good thing to ask for. But it's interesting. My father is now 100, as you know, and he's lived, I think there's somebody else in our village, he's lived 40 years longer than they lived. And that person was incredibly successful in the army. But he didn't have the length of days. And you ask yourself, well, what do you want? Do you want, like Alexander the Great, great success, huge success, dead at 29, or living a life of contentment without huge achievement perhaps, but living to 100, having your family with you? Much better, of course, than all those things is to live a life of faithful service to the Lord and to know the secret of contentment. We looked last week, didn't we, that the meek will inherit the earth. The obedient to God will enjoy the blessings of this life. Well, we'll all be given crowns. We can't see each other's crowns now, but we are kings and priests. Revelation 1 verse 6 reminds us, and he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. And there are found three crowns. There are probably more that we that Christians qualify for. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 4 verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love him at his appearing. That love his appearing. So that's a crown that we'll all be given, the crown of righteousness. Then the person who endures trial. Blessed is James 1 verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So that is the crown of righteousness and the crown of life. And then, talking I think to pastors, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. That's in 1 Peter 5 verse 4. David was given that. I've gave my notes and I've already covered that point. I'll move on. Then moving on really to the second part, because I think the first part is talking about salvation, and it's looking ahead, I think, to the Christian life. And then the second part, from verse 7 onwards, it's interesting to see and instructive to see how David trusted the Lord. His position was secure in the Lord. It's the Lord who fought his battles. Look at verse 7. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. God can find out our enemies in a way that we never can, because he knows the heart. People may seek to appear to us as friends, whereas in fact they're not. their hearts may be far from us. They may be luring us into a trap. Look at verse 11. For they intended evil against me. They imagined a mischievous device which they are not able to perform. They use flattery. But they could not get round the Lord. And it's a good thing to ask the Lord to fight our battles, isn't it? Because if the Lord fights our battles, then he will see their hearts, he will find them out, and he will deliver us. We see verse 9, the end of the ungodly. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. It is a frightening picture, isn't it? If you've ever seen fire devour anything in its path, it devours everything, and it will devour the wicked in hell. Praise God that we have been delivered from that terrible fate. It also, verse 11 also gives us an insight into the true nature of people who are unbelievers. That no one, we can be quite sure, no one who's righteous will go to hell. Everyone who goes to hell will deserve it. And we who deserved it will be saved from it by the mercy of God alone. Well, I hope that gives us some food for prayer as we move into prayer now.